to. So what do you think? A podcast where we discuss weird and unsolved mysteries and events and give you our completely unprofessional opinion on them. I'm Jay, and with me here is B.
Yellow.
And B is off her tits tonight on painkillers. So may
plus
or may
relaxants.
Not. Yeah. Yeah. May or may not be able to articulate things. Although, you know what it reminds me of on Seinfeld? Stella.
I can't remember that episode. LA, how do we not remember?
Oh, see, you must be off your tits.
Yeah, maybe I am.
When Elaine hurts her back and takes a Quaaludes and she's like, Stella.
Oh, yeah. How do I not remember that? Because anytime a cat or dog comes into work and it's called Stella, I'm like, Stella! Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So tonight we're heading to Knoxville, Tennessee, where we have a mysterious death to talk about. We're in July 1996, and we have 31-year-old Robert Dennis Blair Adams, who goes by Blair Adams, who is a Canadian man who, well, before he met his demise, let's say he'd been acting a little bit strange. His family would say that he'd been experiencing mood swings and problems with sleeping, and that he'd become quite worried that people were trying to kill him. Now, this is not the first time we've heard this sort of thing. We've had quite a few of these, I feel. Guys, yes. Just all of a sudden waking up one day and going, people are trying to kill me. but I guess it's up to us to sort of judge whether or not that was actually the case. His parents were worried, of course, and his mum would ask him, like, what's going on? Who's trying to kill you? You know, the standard questions. Mm. But he just kept telling her, like, look, I can't talk about it. It's a thing that's private. All you need to know is someone's coming to get me. And it really is hard to help someone in this state. I mean, you know they're not okay, that something's not quite right, but I suppose what do you do? Like, I guess it would be like, it could be the start of some sort of paranoia or psychosis, but also, like, what if someone's actually after him? Like, you can't count it out. Like, I mean, you don't want to completely fob him off in this case either. On July 5th, he withdrew all of the money from his savings account and also emptied a safety deposit box he had, which had things like jewelry and cash and gold and that sort of thing inside. 2 days later, he tried to take a ferry from British Columbia to Seattle, but at the border crossing, he was flagged. They took one look at all of the cash and the jewelry and gold on him and decided that he must be a drug courier. Something that was like supported by the fact that he did actually have past drug and assault charges on his record. And when they looked into him, they found this. So they're like, no, sorry, you must be a drug person. And they turned him away. Not to be deterred though, Blair tried again on July 9th, crossing the Pacific Highway border this time on foot. Now, when he tried to cross here, officials saw that he was covered in cuts and scratches, and he actually matched the description of someone who had stolen a car and left it abandoned nearby recently. They took him in for questioning, but they couldn't find any evidence that he was the guy that they were looking for, so they let him get away, but they wouldn't let him cross at that border crossing again. So Blair goes, right, third time lucky, and he tries again to enter the US, this time by renting a car from Vancouver Airport and crossing that way. This time he actually was successful. So he gets to Seattle, he heads to the airport, and he goes to buy a ticket to Frankfurt in Germany. Now, looking back, no one really knows why he did this. He had worked in Frankfurt and once dated a woman there a few years earlier, but they checked her out and they were like, do you know why he might have been wanting to go to Frankfurt? And she's like, well, no, I haven't seen him for years. And he never contacted me to say that he was coming or anything like that. It was all a moot point, though, because he decided not to take the Frankfurt flight and swapped the credit for a flight to Washington, D.C. instead. So he's a little bit all over the place already here. Doesn't quite know what he's doing, I don't think. Once he arrives in D.C., he rents a car and heads off across the states. Later in the day in Virginia, he has a minor fender bender, not too much damage though. He stops and gives the other driver details, and that driver would say that he seemed like a really nice guy, but he was in quite a hurry. Like, he was almost like, oh my God, okay, quick, here's my details. I've got to go. I've got to keep moving, sort of thing. Blair arrives in Knoxville, Tennessee on July 10th in the evening. And this means that he traveled about 800 kilometers in about 10 hours. So he was not having any stopovers on the way, I think it's safe to say. At 5:30 p.m., he went to a petrol station, and from there he called a car repair guy, like what you would do like with the RAC or something like that here. I think they've got like AAA or something over in America.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. He says that his key to his hire car wasn't working properly and he couldn't get into the car or start it or anything because he couldn't get the key to work. So the car guy shows up, sees that indeed the key is not working, but it doesn't take him long to notice that he was using the wrong key. The key he was trying to use was for a Nissan, and this was a Toyota, this car. He'd been using the keys from the last car, which he had hired and left in Seattle. So I don't know how he got away with not giving the keys back, but he was using completely the wrong key.
Yeah.
Car guy is like, you drove here, so you must have the key. Like, you got here. Like, yeah. You've got to have it. Check your pockets, man. But he refused to check his pockets. In the end, the car was towed because, I mean, what else are you going to do, right? You can't get it started. So this guy decides, all right, I'll drop you at the motel, the Fairfield Inn, it was called. We know this as we not only have CCTV, but we have the clerk's testimony as well. But when the clerk goes to give him change, Blair turns around and walks out the front door. He never actually enters the room that he paid for. So let's stop and have a little chat about Blair and his antics, shall we? What are your thoughts so far?
He does not seem well.
No, he seems like a very unwell person right now.
Yeah, very strange behavior.
Yeah. I mean, we've crossed countries. We've flown across our country. We've booked flights that we've not taken. We've hired cars. We've crossed states. Yeah, it's very scattered, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got this seemingly crazy behavior. And, you know, as I said, we've seen this in our other cases as well. For all intents and purposes, it seems to me like there may be a mental health episode going on here. What do you think?
Yes. A bit manic.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Echoes of mania. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I instantly have so many questions. Like, first of all, why go to the USA? What are you doing there, you know? Why be so shady with the border crossings? Like, why wouldn't you just drive across in the first place rather than try and look really weird? You know, like, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Why take all your money and clean out your safety deposit box and have it all on your person and that sort of thing as well? So was he like trying to pay someone maybe or get out of trouble, or was he like doing the whole start a new life situation maybe? I don't know. He seemed by accounts extremely agitated.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel clerk said that he was like anxiously walking in and out of the lobby about five times before he actually paid for a room.
Yeah.
He used to have a drug problem, but he'd been clean for a few years. Yeah, I don't know. It's confusing, I think, at this point, right?
To say the least.
To say the least, yes. So in the early hours of the following morning, now remember, Blair never went into this hotel room. So once he walked out of the hotel, we don't know what happened after that.
Yep.
So that morning, about 12 hours after he was last seen, Blair's body is found in a parking lot about 800 meters from the hotel. He is naked from the waist down. His pants and socks are inside out, like someone has like pulled them off him in one go. His shoes are off and his shirt is ripped open. His forehead had a large laceration, like he'd been hit with a crowbar. There were chunks of his hair ripped out, and he had defensive wounds on his hands, as well as one long strand of hair that was not his. He looked like he had been sexually assaulted. His cause of death was a huge impact to his stomach, which ruptured it, causing sepsis. So what are your initial thoughts on hearing all of this?
Extreme trauma.
Yeah, like almost too much trauma for just a beating, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're rupturing a stomach, that's pretty full on.
Yeah.
What do you think about like how he was found with his clothes and everything?
Humiliating.
Yeah, like they've tried to sort of take his clothes off.
If you think so, like, okay, I'm just... It's drugs, right? Like,
yeah, it sounds like.
And he thinks someone's after him, and he's screwed someone over.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is also explains some of the weird erratic behavior. Maybe that wasn't so much a meltdown or a manic episode. That was a red herring,
or it's like a relapse. You think? Yeah,
you know, like someone throwing someone off his scent. Like, oh yeah, look, he caught this plane, but he never caught the plane to that place.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's somewhere else.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, someone's done something to him. I don't know whether or not. I mean, how do you feel about sort of someone tracking him all the way from Canada down to Tennessee, you know, and then killing him? That sounds a little bit much to me.
What year did this happen again?
1996.
Okay, so technology wouldn't really have.
Hmm.
Unless he's talking to people along the way and he thinks people that are his friends aren't actually his friends and they're passing on the information.
Sounds like he didn't really have time to talk to anyone, though. Like, he was doing, like, 800 kilometres in 10 hours.
Yeah.
Food stopping for his fender bender that he was really in a hurry to get out of. So,
yeah,
it's weird. There were no drugs or alcohol in his body, so it wasn't a relapse.
Yeah.
I guess at this point we know he was murdered. That's pretty much all we mean. He didn't do that to himself.
No,
you wouldn't think. So the question becomes, was this a random attack or was it related to whatever was going on with him prior? My first instinct is that it's like an assault slash robbery situation. Guy's acting crazy, pissed off the wrong people maybe, and they've attacked him. But not only was that $4,000 that he withdrew from his bank account still with him, it was scattered around his body, so nobody had taken it. The money was also in Canadian, American, and German currency, so it was like he'd changed some money as well.
Yeah.
He had a bum bag, or as the Americans like to say, a fanny pack.
I call it a fanny pack too, and I have one, and it's rocking.
Okay, all right, no judgment.
Best thing I ever bought. I can't. I hummed and hawed, and then I bought it, and
no regrets.
It's true freedom. It's true freedom.
I believe
you. You don't understand freedom until you have a bum bag.
Okay, all right. I believe you.
Yep.
So yeah, he has a bum bag. And
on a side note, drug dealers generally have bum bags. I was very careful with my selection of bum bags. So I do not look like a drug dealer.
Or an Esche or something.
Yeah, I do not look like an Esche. Although I fucked up big time and got some new work sneakers and they look like Esche drug dealer sneakers.
And you got the bum bag and the sneakers.
So now I've got this bum bag, which doesn't, it's a canvas one. I got it from some girl shop. But these shoes, like, honestly, because I have to wear all black shoes, so they're all black sneakers. And, like, they just look like drug dealer shoes, and I hate wearing them to work now.
You're not allowed to wear them at the same time as the bum bag, that's all.
I don't. I strictly wear these ridiculously ugly drug dealer shoes to work only.
If you start growing a mullet and grow a moustache, I'll be worried.
What can't? What is she? They're talking like pig Latin or something. They have their own little language.
Yeah, that's what Esche means. So, yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, Esche's aside, Blair had a bum bag and inside it was 5 ounces of gold bars, coins, jewelry, and expensive sunglasses and the missing car keys.
This guy's crazy.
Yeah, it seems as though, right?
Yeah.
So it seems nothing's been stolen here, though. So I think we can probably rule out a robbery.
Yeah.
What just happened? You just, like, got illuminated in the camera.
Sorry, it's just because I left my Facebook tab open and Felicity messaging me about work stuff. There we go, that's better. And I'm like, oh, no, it's beeping.
So in the police investigation, they looked at a possible drug angle but could find no evidence of that. Also, I feel like drug dealers would have probably robbed him if it was them. Someone did come forward, a construction worker, who said that at around 3:30 a.m. he heard a scream coming from that parking lot, but he felt like it could have been a woman's scream. So do we have like an angry prostitute pimp situation going on here maybe? I don't know. What do you think about that, the scream?
I feel like any man could scream like a woman if his stomach had been ruptured, just saying.
Yeah, I guess, like, it's really hard, isn't it, that how we can
also sort of have you heard Ned Flanders scream?
yeah, true. That's true. Yeah, it's funny how we sort of discern what we think to be male or female voices, but yeah, that's it. Men can certainly scream like women if they're in enough pain, so.
Yeah.
But it made me think maybe this was like a prostitute thing, like maybe you know, he didn't want to pay.
Go along with the erratic behavior and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. I think that, like, the key to it all is discovering a scenario where money would be left behind. I think we need to think of what scenario would be that they would not
only. I feel like it's someone that somehow knows him, because there's like humiliation thing behind it. Like, they don't actually give a crap about the money or any or jewelry or anything like that. It's like more about absolutely beating the crap out of him and then not even taking his money.
Yeah. So, and like, they've not even not just taken it, they've thrown it all around his body by the looks of it. So it's, that would be hard to miss. So yeah, it certainly makes it feel like it's a bit more personal. There were so few tips and leads in this case, though, so it really was just a case of not much to go on. The only real bit of info other than the scream that came forward was from two women who claimed to have seen Blair talking to a man outside a restaurant in that area that night. They helped with a composite sketch, but nothing ever came of it. They did get DNA off that long hair that was in his hand, but they've never actually been able to find a match to that either. So, what happened to Blair? Can we put it all together? I don't know. I don't feel like we maybe have enough information, don't you think?
No, I really don't think we have any information. We have a hair that has no DNA link. We have a possible woman's scream and maybe someone that saw him talking to a man at the front of a restaurant, and that's literally it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if we did hear a woman's scream, that would match in, because the hair that was in his hand was a long hair. Maybe some sort of altercation with a woman. I don't know. Now, Blair's mum would say some years later that he was bisexual and had been in at least one relationship with a man. So could this guy he met with at the restaurant and him had some sort of sexual encounter maybe? There was evidence of anal penetration, which is why sexual assault was noted as a possibility, but maybe it wasn't an assault. Maybe it was consensual. That's why his pants were pulled down maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So was the attack just a random thing that sort of happened after he had sex with someone? Or maybe it was like a gay bashing, someone sort of caught them in the act or something like that? I mean, this was an extremely rough area in Knoxville, so maybe he and this guy came across some sort of homophobic psychos or something like that.
Yeah.
They could have literally caught him with his pants down, right? Like, was this like just
that would explain the humiliation.
Absolutely, yeah, that's it. I think to me the only way that money wouldn't have been seen is if they didn't have time to stick around maybe. You know, maybe there was someone else with them, like, and they sounded like a girl screaming or something as they run away from these guys, and then they left Blair to pursue that person maybe. Like, it was like a witness, quick, get after them, you know. I mean, I can see that. You know, maybe they just didn't realize that he had all that money, and in the attack, it just sort of, if it was a dark area, it just sort of flew out of his body or something. And they maybe didn't see it. Is a possibility? I don't know. I just see, you know, no scenario where bad guys aren't going to rob him. I just feel like bad guys are going to rob him.
Yeah.
Something either interrupted them, or like you said, it was like a message, like a humiliation. Maybe it was, I don't want this gay guy's money, you know, keep it sort of thing or something like that. If I was the cops, I'd be looking into emergency room records from that night and seeing who came in, like maybe beat up, because if he was in some sort of like sexual liaison with another guy, maybe they beat up him up as well.
Yeah.
I guess this scenario doesn't explain his behavior beforehand, though, and I think that that's what stumps so many people in this case, like just trying to make it all fit. But is it possible that Blair really was having a psychotic episode and behaving erratically, and that's what put him in Tennessee, but the attack was like a standalone, wrong place, wrong time sort of situation, like two separate things going on? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, potentially, definitely. And this is all just a red herring.
Like, yeah, the fact that his behavior was so weird, people try and put it all together. Like,
see, this is the thing, though. This is what happens with people that have these sorts of personality disorders, is they get themselves into dangerous situations because of their erratic behavior. So it's definitely plausible.
Yeah, that's it. And I think in, you know, quite a few cases that we've covered with these similar sorts of things going on, I think we do have people that do find themselves in the midst of a mental health crisis, basically, and they just are like off the chain as far as like their thoughts and their processes and their actions.
Yeah,
and they just put themselves in danger because they are not thinking straight.
Yeah.
And we know this was a really rough area, so maybe all it took was some guy. I mean, look, we've all been on the train. We all know the people that catch the train. There's some really mentally unwell people sometimes on the train. Yeah.
I caught the train recently for the first time in like a fair while. Yeah. And I caught the train from a place called Midland.
Ah, yes, Midland, classic.
very different to where I would usually catch the train, my new neighborhood. I'm in the hood now. And yeah, like it was interesting. It was interesting, that's for sure.
So what I was saying is, like, you see people that are obviously having either drug situations or they're having mental health crises, and they do act very, very erratically, and they piss people off. They do get people offside.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe he was just, like, off the chain and someone got annoyed with him, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like something took his attackers out of the area quickly, and I think that chasing someone else would probably be a good reason for that.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. If he's been out, he's been seen talking to a guy, he's decided, look, let's go to a back alley for sex. They're going for it. And, you know, some crazy, you know, criminal people walk past and see this. Homophobia is at peak. We've always say in the 90s, it was pretty bloody bad. So they've decided, right, here we go. We're going to go beat these guys up. And the other guy gets away and Blair gets beaten to death, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was dark. Maybe they did go back and they just sort of glanced him from afar and saw that he was still there but not moving and just didn't get out and just got out of there before they could see the money or something.
Yeah.
I guess it makes more sense to me than someone following him there from Canada. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that if I had to guess, I'd say that we've got two different things going on here.
Yep.
Yeah.
I concur.
Good. You concur. I don't know. I feel sorry for him. I mean, whatever beat him, and it does look like he was hit with a crowbar or something like that. Obviously, he's been hit in the stomach too. Oh, I just think you don't die of sepsis instantly.
No.
So he was probably there in a lot of pain for a few hours before he died. Hopefully he was unconscious. That's all I can sort of say. Hopefully the injury knocked him out. But yeah, really, really sad. Anyway, let us know what you think. What do you think happened to Blair? Is it all related to him crossing the border and doing his crazy magical mystery tour? Or was it just something that happened and he was in the wrong place at the wrong time? Come see us on socials and let us know what you think. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.